Hello, 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 hello. How are you doing? I just wanted to pop on here really quick and just show y'all some love. I've been able to have a lot of different conversations about waiting and dating, and it's been just such a blessing just to be able to speak into this world and into the dating scene and just help believers navigate these waters. And so I was able to talk to a really great guy. Like, he's super great. He follows this podcast, and I won't say his name for privacy purposes, but he was just really, really vulnerable and open and was like, "Hey, I listened to the podcast, and Faye, I really do appreciate you for all that you're doing." And it's just really been encouraging him, and so that just really bless my heart. And so thank you so much for everybody who takes your time to listen to this podcast and who enjoys it and learn from it. And so if that's you, just know I appreciate you. I thank you. I love you. But today we're gonna hop into what happens if you fall. What happens if you fall into sexual sin? Like, straight up, what happens if I have sex with my boyfriend? What happens if I have sex? Like, what happens if we go too far? That happens a lot, and I've lately been seeing that pop up quite a bit, where I see couples that are just passionate about each other, and although they are trying so hard to, not fall into those sexual traps, because the chemistry and the passion is so strong, it makes it very hard for them. And so sometimes you fall. I fell. Y'all know my story. I fell into sexual sin, and then your girl just waddled in it. I was like, "Well, we didn't did it, so I guess we here now." And I ended up having a baby out of wedlock. I end up ruining my life almost, and if it wasn't for God redeeming my life, for redeeming me, there's no telling where I would be. And so I want to address that today. What happens if you fall? What happens if you do too much, and y'all get a little bit too touchy-feely, and y'all cross boundaries, both sexually, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually? What do you do? Number one, I want you to reject the automatic response we usually have when we fall into sexual sin is we want to run and hide. No. That's the worst thing you can do, okay? That is what Abraham, not Abraham, Adam and Eve did. When they, bit from the forbidden fruit, the first thing they did was run and hide. No, you don't want to repeat that cycle. You want to run to God. It's just like my little babies. I have a 3-year-old, a 2-year-old, and 1-year-old. And when they poop in their pull-up, or they poop in their little underwears, or mess up big time, they don't run from me. They run to me because they know I can fix it. They know mommy can make it better. And so even when they know they're in trouble, they still run to me. Why is that? That children know, run to mommy if I need help. But us as adults, us that love Jesus, us that call ourselves believers and we say he is love and he is this, we run away from him out of shame, out of guilt, out of all kind of mess. We run away. I want to challenge you. Do not run away if you fall. Resist that temptation to run away. Because when you run away, number one, you're going to find yourself drifting away from God. Because then you're going to feel guilty. Oh man, I haven't prayed. Oh man, I haven't read the scripture. Oh man, now I'm in isolation. Oh, now you're going to be just almost like consumed by that thing. And when I fell into sexual sin, I ran away. I went into hiding, and it was just me and my boyfriend. And although it appeared to be the most safe and most comfortable thing to do, it wasn't, y'all. It was dangerous. It was very, very not good. Because then I was like, "Well, we already had sex once, so I might as well do it again." I wasn't talking to God. I wasn't talking to my community. I wasn't talking to my friends. It was just me on an island. And I remember, y'all, when I first fell in sexual sin with him, I was trying so hard to walk upright, but I loved him and I had this passion for him. Chemistry was literally undeniable, and it was almost like I couldn't resist him. And I remember, just I'm gonna be real right now, And this may trigger some of you guys, but this podcast is about being honest and being real and not just giving you some churchy, you know, answer. I want to give you tactics. I want to give you raw, real, so that you can take my story and use it to better your life if the Lord have you do that. So I remember just those days when I went into isolation and it was just me and him. I like stopped talking to my friends. I stopped going to church. I stopped because I was ashamed. I was embarrassed. I was guilty. I knew I had fallen. I couldn't get up because I didn't want to get up, to be honest. Finally had somebody that I thought loved me. Someone that I thought really, you know, would be there for me for life. I thought, you know, we'll make this right because we'll go get married. It'll make it all better. And so I made every excuse as to why I needed to stay in that relationship. And I need to fight for that relationship. And I remember we did it again. Because once you fall into the sexual sin, it's so hard to get up. It's so hard to resist that flesh in isolation for sure. And when you add no accountability, your flesh already weak, and you already feel guilty, most times you're going to do it again. And so I was in that space, and I remember us falling again. And eventually, I began just to waddle in it and make excuses. Well, it is what it is. I'm just going, this is where we at. We're going to get married one day. We're just not going to rush. I had every excuse, every single excuse in the book. Everybody's doing it. Girl, you name it. I had an excuse for it. Why I was in that situation. Totally out of order with the king and totally not talking to Jesus. And I remember just laying there, y'all, crying. I remember one time after having intimacy with my boyfriend, I laid on the floor, on the bathroom floor, curled up, crying, feeling guilty, feeling shame, feeling nasty, feeling like, oh my God, I don't know how God can ever love me because I don't know how to get out of this and I don't want to get out of this, and just feeling guilty on every side. And so this is why you need to resist the urge to go into isolation. Resist the urge to flee. Resist it with everything in you. If you fall into sexual sin, you need to have a friend that you can talk to, a friend that you trust, or someone you can go to and be honest and be vocal and be vulnerable and tell the truth, because the truth will set and make you free. Jesus said that in his word. And so you hiding it and stuffing it, it's going to become cancerous to your spirit. It's going to kill. It starts to eat away and kill, ultimately, your relationship and your walk with Jesus. Yes, nothing can separate you from Jesus but you. You can choose using your will to walk away from the Father. There's no such thing as once saved, always saved. You have to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And when you're not working, not saying that, you know, you got to work for your salvation. But if you're not pursuing a relationship with Jesus, if you're not wholeheartedly desiring the things of God, and even when you fall, you quick to repent and get it together, you are in drift. And that's the biggest threat for a believer. Being in drift. When you're drifting away, you begin to feel numb. Like that shame turns into numbness. That embarrassment turns into numbness. And then next time we see you, you sound different. You look different. You act different. Or like me, you pregnant. And so don't run. Seek accountability. Number two, if you fall into sexual sin, I personally believe, now I always tell y'all this, don't take my word, take his word. So I want you to take what I'm saying and take it to the Father and ask him what he have you do. What I want you to do, I want you to go and ask the Lord. Lord, do I cut this off? I think it needs to be cut down immediately. If I would have cut that relationship before I got way too deep, even after we first fell into sexual sin, my life would be completely different. I'm not even kidding. One, I would have avoided the consequence of becoming a single mother. And the consequence of becoming a single mother is not the child. It's all the emotional and mental and all the burdens that's going to hit you. It's not your baby. Your baby's going to be the peaceful part of it. But it's going to be that person that you thought was everything turning into almost like your worst enemy. It's going to be now you're responsible for another human. Now you give up all your freedoms. Now you figure out, man, I didn't know much about life at all. How am I going to take care of me and this kid or you can get pregnant with twins, or it can come with a lot worse, STDs. I can just name it on and on and on and on. It can cost you so much. And so I firmly believe the relationship needs to be cut off, because it's really hard to restore something that, it's almost like cooking a cake, baking a cake. Y'all probably heard this before. I'm not sure who told me this, but I appreciate them for it. If I knew who told me this, I would tell you guys so you can go and tell them what's up. But it's like baking a cake and a little bit of baby poop falling in the cake batter. Would you still eat that cake? Would you say, oh man, it's just a little poop, I'll scoop it out, it'll still be a good cake? No, you would not. You would throw out the entire batch and you would start over. Now, I'm not saying that we treat people like they're nothing, because that person that you just had sex with, they're made in the image of the living God, and the Lord loves them. But you need to guard your heart on all diligence. I mean, you need to be 10 toes down, ready to do and cut off whatever you have to cut off. Just like the Word of God says, it don't matter if you have to enter into the kingdom of heaven with one eye, one arm, one leg, cut it off. If it's separating you from the Lord, if it's pulling on your heart, cut it off. Because I'd rather enter the kingdom of heaven looking like a mangled and just, you know, crippled person in the spirit than to, you know, sacrifice my walk with Jesus because I refuse to put down sin. And also on that, I want to ask you, how fine is this person? I get men listen to this too. So you got to ask yourself, is this person hell fine? Because you can't actively participate in sin willingly and still be like, oh, I'm a Christian, oh, I'm this, oh, I'm that, oh, I'm that. You can't call yourself a sold out believer if you compromise in an area. God calls us to be holy because he is holy. He calls us to be blameless. And so if you are literally like perpetually, you living in sin, it's not like you slipped up. It's like you living in it. Like, I'm going to question your salvation. I'm going to question your heart for the King. There's a lot of people who identify as Christians, but they're really not. They're cultural Christians. They're not sold out believers willing to do anything for the King. And so I want you to consider severing this relationship, completely cutting it off, no matter the pain, no matter her heart, no matter how much you have to cry, it doesn't matter. I believe you need to cut it off. So number one, accountability. Number two, cut it off. Number three, forgive yourself. If you don't forgive yourself, you'll find yourself stuck in that place of guilt, shame, and condemnation. And God said in his word, therefore now, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so, you need to forgive yourself. You need to forgive yourself and release yourself. Yes, you fell. Yes, it was pretty bad fall. Yes, part of you really liked it too. Yes, all of that's true. But guess what? Jesus said if we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive. So if he can forgive you, you need to forgive yourself. And then after that, you need to take a minute and not date nobody else. You need to be by yourself. Get by yourself and figure out why and what did I do to find myself in such a predicament. You know, and in that place is where you seek God. And that place is where you start to ask God, what's my purpose? And God, how can I date in a biblical way? And so those are the four things I want to encourage you to do if you fall into sexual sin. And a bonus is, I want you to watch what you're watching. You got to be careful about your ear gates and your eye gates, meaning what you see and what you hear. What movies are you watching? What does your social media look like? Like, you got to be very mindful of that. There's the sexual culture that we're living in. Everything's hypersexual. And so the number five, the bonus is, when you're dealing with, you fell into sexual sin, you have to begin to crucify that flesh, because at that point, it's going to be very hard to, you know, bounce back from that and recover from that. So you got to do whatever's necessary. And I think you need to, number one, watch what you're watching, watch what you're listening to, watch who you're hanging out with. And you really need to pursue holiness. And so thank y'all so much for your time. I love you. Be encouraged. If you've fallen, there's no need to be ashamed. There's no need to be embarrassed. You need to repent. You need to get up. You need to make some decisions from this moment forward. So I want to end this episode with a prayer, because I think it's so vital that we really deal with this, because there's a lot of believers that are secretly hurting, and I feel like they don't really have a safe space. They can talk and be honest and be like, hey, I've fallen and I don't know what to do. And so I want to create that space where you feel like, man, I can come to this community and I can find refuge and I can find space to speak on my truth. And not that we're just creating a space for us just to throw anything out there. It's going to be Christ-centered. It's going to be biblical. It's going to be strong. But you're going to be able to tell what's happening with you, but you'll be challenged and held accountable at the same time. And so let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I come before you now with my beautiful sister or brother. And I ask you, Lord, just to touch them right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I ask you, Lord, just begin to heal their hearts, God. I ask you, God, just to help them, God. Help them get up. Help them know they can turn from the wicked ways and they can choose you, Lord. God, I ask you just to restore to them the joy of their salvation, Lord. I come against the spirit of guilt and shame and depression and anxiety in the name of Jesus. I come against fear and thinking that if they choose you over this person, they'll never find anybody else. I come against shame that will tell them, I've fallen and I'm too far from God. I rebuke that and I bind it in the name of Jesus. And God, I thank you that you're raising them up to be a godly individual, to have and hold up a godly family in this world. God, thank you, Lord, that you're calling them back to yourself and you're going to make them into the woman or man of God you called them to be in the name of Jesus. And so I pray for their hearts. I pray for their minds. I pray for their walk with you. God, give them a hunger and a thirst for you, Lord. Allow them to long for you like a deer panting for water, Lord. Allow them to begin to long to be in that secret place. And once they get to that secret place, Lord, I ask you, God, just will blow their minds. Give them revelation. Allow them to feel your presence like never before. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, sister girl, brother man, I love you. I love you so much, and I'm so proud of you. If you haven't told someone that you've fallen and you've just been living in isolation and battling with, should I stay? Should I go? What should I do? I encourage you, go to your pastor, go to your local church, go to your mentor, go to your spiritual mother or father. Find someone you can talk to and be real about this and ask them to hold you accountable. And when you ask them to hold you accountable, I need for you to be woman of your word now. If they're going to hold you accountable, that means you got to tell the truth. So, I love you. I am praying for you. You got this. Take care.